I think it's about an 8-5 shot that you could go any place in the civilized world. Without referring to the files, people would know exactly what to expect when you mention the name McCormick.
That's very flattering, Bing. But I don't think it's any way to talk about McCormick.
Why not?
But people think you're entertaining a thrashing machine.
If anybody thinks he just heard a few words from a combination harvester, change segment.
Now that you've got that cleared up, Bing, go to work on this. I came around this evening because of something I heard someone say here last Thursday.
You mean you infer that back people actually hear what goes on here in the hall?
Oh, there's a little bit of an eavesdropper in the best of us.
Well, I guess probably your great love for music drew you naturally to Burns and his bazoo. In any case, we're deeply grateful.
But to tell you the truth, I've been listening every week hoping that something would be said here that I could agree with.
You finally found it?
I have indeed. Nobody ever said a truer word than Mary Garden did last Thursday, when she declared that there were a lot of very fine young voices in this part of the world.
Well, say, it's too bad Miss Garden is on her way to France. I'm sure she'd be pleased to hear that you agree.
Well, there are a couple of us who might take exception. Well, plain disagree with her when she says that there's no training in this part of the world.
Well, I guess it might be just as well that she's on her way to France.
You mean for me? But what can she find in France that she can't find right here in America?
Will you tell him, Bing, or shall I?
Well, let's make him get his line. But it's a pity. It's really a pity that Burns isn't here. You know, he'd know. He was over there with the Marines.
Oh, we'll talk about that later. I meant musically.
He meant musically.
Oh. Yes. And I'm speaking musically when I ask you, Bing, if such names as Rosa Poncel, Gladys Swartout, Grace Moore, and Janet McDonald mean anything to you.
Mean anything? Say, we'd pay any one of them plenty of folding money to warble a bit up here in the hall.
Well, they didn't get any of their vocal training in France or Italy or any place in Europe. They got it right here in the United States.
That's right.
And so did fellas like John Charles Thomas and Lawrence Tibbet and Nelson Eddy and Richard Crooks.
Nice little bunch of crooners you got there, kid.
I really think you got us wrong, John. I can't have you thinking we're America's trying to sell it. We're definitely on your side. Why? Look, we've got a gal on the show tonight who's Boffo Box Office with the San Francisco Opera Company, and she's never crossed an ocean. Her name is Josephine Tamina.
Tamina? With a name like that, she ought to have an opera company of her own.
And she'd have just as good a voice and get just as far in opera today if her name was McCarthy. That name business is all washed up. Did you ever hear of a tenor named Eduardo Di Giovanni?
Why, certainly I'm cultured. The famous Italian opera star.
Well, Eduardo Di Giovanni changed his name back to Edward Johnson when he came back to the Metropolitan Opera House. And do you think that Joe Benton of Kansas City is any better singer because he calls himself Giuseppe Vincenetti? Why, let me tell you, gentlemen, my voice wasn't nearly as good when I studied in Italy and sang in grand opera as Giovanni Foley.
Johnny Foley? Oh, Foley, huh?
Yes, that's the Irish version.
Well, anyway, after thinking it over, Big, it's no use.
What's no use?
No use changing your name to Bambino Gravoli.
Bambino Gravoli on the front of the Metropolitan Opera House today wouldn't draw flies. But the name, Bing Crosby.
Oh, that'd draw some flies.
Now, if we can print those posters on flypaper, they got some.
Well, until they get it, I think I'll just defer my debut on the Grand Opera stage.
And as far as I'm concerned, you can defer it indefinitely, Bing.
There, friend, speaks a true lover of grand opera.
Oh, no, that's where you're wrong. It's just that I don't think the grand opera is the last word in music.
You don't care for it?
Well, to me, there's a great, great difference between grand opera and grand opera.
Which do you consider which?
Well, that's purely a matter of taste. Personally, I'll take Mussorgsky's Boris Godunov, and you can have your Pelléas and Mélisande.
Well, differences of opinion makes horsemen is what makes you. Know, I don't, you don't go for Debussy, huh?
Not very far. But that, again, as I say, is a matter of taste and opinion. And I'd be the last one to argue about that.
Why?
Well, I'll tell you, my father never could understand, Bing, why in the name of fortune there should be any more fuss made about my voice than about anybody else's in the family.
Did they all sing?
Every one of them. When I first sang in Ireland many years ago, the neighbors said, "Your old man sang better than you did 15 years ago." And my son said, "He's a lovely boy. There's a lot. There's a McCormick that you ought to get to sing for you out here."
Hey, we'd love to have him. Will you bring him around sometime?
He's a little far away, see. He's over in Dublin.
Singing?
Not professionally. He's an electrical engineer. But I've talked to Boris Morris of Paramount about having a screen test made of him.
Oh, Boris Morris. Say, there's another good heart. if Phil can sing songs as well as he can pick them for his old man, my money's on him. Anyhow, here, friends, is the number John McCormick's son, Cyril, just sent over from Ireland.